following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 13:4. This is charity series number 3. Love is never boastful. Now, we've been going through the characteristics of unconditional love in 1 Corinthians 13. And one by one. And I've been surprised at what's in the Word for each of these. I think God has a vested interest that we move and love unconditionally. Can you hear an amen? That's how Christ was. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffers long, King James in this kind. Charity envies not. King James reads, charity vaunteth not itself. Now that's, but NIV reads, love does not boast. That Greek word there for boast or vaunteth not, King James, the word is, and they actually, I found a place where it tells you how to pronounce Greek. Perpa euomahi. And what it means, that Greek word, is to employ rhetorical embellishments in extolling yourself excessively. To employ rhetorical embellishments. I like, that's kind of a pleasant way of saying bragging. To extol yourself. Love does not boast. Now, you know, if you turn to Psalm 44, did you know there's nothing wrong with boasting in the Lord? Can you hear an amen? I say, can you hear an amen? Psalm 44, verse 5 says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hate us. Look at verse 8. And King James reads, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Psalm 34, 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In fact, you know, Jesus actually told somebody to go out and brag and boast. Did you know that? When he cast the demons out of this Gadarene demoniac, this guy that was loaded with demons, remember? And he cast him into the pigs. Anybody remember the story? Did you know that guy, after the demons left him, wanted to go and be with Jesus? He wanted to follow him whithersoever he would. But in this case, Christ actually turned somebody away. In this interesting case, Christ said, no, don't come with me. Instead, go into the town and tell everybody what the Lord has done. Boast in the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, if there's something you need to boast about, it's how you've been delivered of the devil. Can you hear that? It's interesting that if you look at the life of Christ, when he healed the sick, he would often tell the people, don't say anything to anybody. Amen? In fact, interesting enough, even when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, think about this. He raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Remember, Peter, James, and John are with him. The parents, he raised Talitha Kumai. He raises the little girl. The parents are ecstatic. He says, give her something to eat. And then he says, don't tell anybody. Well, what? What, they're going to lock her in a closet for the rest of her life? The idea was, Christ, the Bible says he didn't shout about himself in the streets. He didn't do his works so that everybody could look and go, ooh and ah. He was after giving glory to his Father. But it's interesting, whereas when it came to healing the sick, to raising the dead, to making the lame to walk, he would always say, shh, keep it quiet. But did you know, when he cast the demons out of the guy in the gutter, he said, you go and shout and tell everybody. Are you with me? In other words, he said, when it comes to casting out devils, stand on the housetop and shout. Because there ain't going to be many people talk about it anyway. I mean, ain't going to be many people be delivered. And those that do, you got a right to boast in the Lord. Can I hear an amen? The whole reason I'm in the ministry today had to do with that. That in 1982, Christmas of 82, I had a brother pray deliverance for me. And I had been a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer for 11 years. 11 years. And yet I was bound up, wound up, and bearing very little fruit. And just got my degree from college. Took me 11 years to get it. Finally got it. Ready to go out and make money for myself. Just had a little Bible study going on Monday nights. But other than that, I was just living for myself. But life was so boring. And I never forget, I was sitting there in a condo I was renting in New Orleans because I was training for a business to be in sales here in Houston. And I saw that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Y'all know that movie. Jimmy Stewart. And after that movie, I remember sitting there thinking, you know, I'm 30 years old that year, and I got nothing to show. I've known Jesus 11 years, Spirit-filled, gone to one of the most powerful churches in the country I had been at, Church of the Redeemer here in Houston, lived in Christian community, exposed to many things, and yes, in my life, I figured, who would come to my funeral? I said, well, my mom would, I know that, that's one. And something in me clicked, and God in His mercy heard my cry. And about a month later, I was sitting at this preacher's in his office, and he was an old elder of mine from the early 70s, and he prayed deliverance for me. And I didn't even know Christians could have demons. Except that was full. And he prayed for me for about 20 minutes, and there wasn't no manifestation. Nothing. Just nothing. You ever pray for one of those? Just pray for, like, hands on brick, you know. So he was kind of frustrated, you know. He said, well, brother, just, you know, go forth and fight and resist. And I remember thinking, well, that was kind of anticlimactic. You know, I was expecting all this. So I went back to New Orleans because I hadn't quite come back to Houston yet. And I went to an Episcopal prayer meeting about 2 days later. I'll never forget this. And we're sitting in a big circle. It was a charismatic Episcopal prayer meeting. We're sitting in a big circle and we're praying. And while we're praying, I had a vision. I never seen it like in my life. We're praying and I had this stunning beam of light shoot out of my belly. Like this. And I'm going, ah! I mean, literally, my eyes were closed and I had to put my hand in front of it so that the light was hurting my eyes. Never seen it like in my life. And I just, ah, what is that? It's light beaming out of me. And so I shared it with everybody. And they all went, whoa, what is that? I don't know what it was. And the Lord showed me later. He says, I've begun the process of deliverance. I'm beginning to break the shell around your spirit and soul. And I'm going to burst out. Can that amen? Deliverance is a process. And from that point on, I began to understand. I went to conferences and learned and came back to Houston, started praying for my friends, started boasting in the Lord. Everybody I knew. By that time, I'd been raised up in the leadership of this church. And I just started telling everybody about what happened. People come up to me, people I'd known for 6, 8 years, and they'd sit down with me at lunch or after church, and they'd share a problem. I'd go, well, that's a demon. Huh? Well, that's a demon. Now, in fact, I started seeing demons on people. Now, that's freaky. And I started walking around. People I'd known for years, and I grew up in that place, you know? It's like home. And people I'd known for years, suddenly I'd sense things in the spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about, seeing in the spirit? I could see demons on them. So I'd go over to them. I'm serious. I'd say, do you know there's a demon on you? In short order, I became a pariah. That's a fancy word for saying run people and do anything to get away from. But praise God, we start praying deliverance for people at the house. Night after night, got a couple of people that joined me and just started praying. And you know, it was such a delight. That's all I want to do. Meantime, I had a job where I was flying around the country. I'd been raised up top of the heap. This wonderful job. This new thing had just come out called personal computers. And I would haul them on a dolly. That's how they were back then. Big old things. This is before, about the time the Mac came out, when Bill Gates was still twiddling his thumbs and Steve Jobs was doing it all before Bill Gates stole it all. Sorry, that's on tape. But I was making all this money. But you know where my heart was? It was in those evening sessions of casting out demons. And by 87, the Lord impressed us to start this church. And the reason I said all that is that's something you can boast in. And because I boasted in this, the Lord gave me a ministry. Can you hear that? And I still boast about it. I tell anybody. I like getting on TV and just proclaiming the word of the Lord. And that you have demons in you. And you're born again. You speak in tongues. And maybe a demon that lives inside of your body. Is that repulsive notion? You can see, sense people just cringing at the thought. Quick, where's the remote? Where's the remote? You know. But it's true. It's true. Somebody's got to have the guts to say it. Can you hear that? So it's okay to boast in the Lord. It's okay to boast about your deliverance. It's okay to boast about what Jesus has done to set you free. You know why? Because as soon as you do that, somebody else all bound and gnarled up, they're going to have a little bit of hope because they hear you. Did you know the very thing that Jesus is setting you free from, one day he's going to put someone just like that in front of you, and you're going to have an anointing to set them free. Can I get an amen? Whatever you're going through right now, whatever trial or tribulation or suffering or persecution or frustration, you know what? Sure enough, you get through that with faith and get on the other side. God at some point is going to put someone just like it in front of you, and you're going to go, whoa, been there, done that, and Jesus came through. Amen? God's an economist, and that's what he does. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about he comforts us with a comfort that we may comfort others with a similar comfort wherewith we've been comforted. Proverbs 20, verse 6. But unfortunately, most boasting, however, is not for the Lord. Most boasting, verse 6, Proverbs 26, most men, Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, it is the nature of man to be self-promoting, lifting up himself, and to be overly self-confident. It's the nature of man to talk about himself. Amen. Some people say, that's my favorite subject. For some people, they say the sweetest word in the English language is their name. When somebody calls it. It says, most men will proclaim everyone, but a faithful man who can find. It's interesting. God is looking for faithful men. In fact, our reward is based upon faithfulness. It's hard to find faithful people who really walk in faithfulness, that character, because faithful people are not out making a name for themselves. Faithful people are not at all they're not the big names out front. Well, I think we're going to be really surprised when we get to heaven. You know, we're expecting up in the front of the line in heaven to be all the big names, right? You know, the Billy Grahams. Now, I'm not saying about Billy. I'm certain he's going to be up there, okay? Without a doubt. But all the big guys, but you know, I think we're going to be really surprised who's way up in the front of the line. We're going to be standing back there. I'm probably going to be number, well, I can't even say how many numbers. It'll be lots of digits. Way back looking, you know? Okay, who is that one? And some angel walks by and goes, whoa, that's a mighty one. Really? Ooh, is it Corrie ten Boom? You know, is it Mother Teresa? Who is that? Oh no, that's Sue Smith. Sue Smith. Yes. And the angel says it with reverence, Sue Smith. And there was a rumble in the mountains. Sue Smith. Whoa, Sue Smith. Who is Sue Smith? You know, finally, you get up to the line about 6 weeks later. You make it up to the front. You know. I'm talking about myself. You know. Get up there. Jesus says, well, son, it's grace the reason you're in here. Come on. You're right, Lord. Grace. I love it. Amen. By the way, I say, by the way, Jesus, who's Sue Smith? Jesus goes, whoa. Sue, she's one of the mighty ones. Who is she? Well, didn't you know? Well, what'd she do? Have a worldwide international recognition? I mean, all these mighty things. Oh, no. She had nothing. She was the least. The least? Yeah, the least. She just stayed at home. Yeah. And walked in humility and meekness and lowliness. And was loving to everyone she touched. Animals liked her. You know, she was faithful. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. She was faithful and kind and loving and gentle. That's all she was. Well, who did she have? Well, not a neighbor down the street. She once led the Lord. That's about it. But everyone she ever came near felt Jesus. One of the mighty ones. You know what I'm saying? What did Jesus say? The least of what? The faithful ones, you can't find them. We're going to be surprised when we get there. Can I amen? I'm just glad for grace. You know, the opposite of boasting is meekness and lowliness. And these are totally foreign traits to our culture today. Look at Proverbs 25:14. Meekness and lowliness. You know, suppose it was some big giant conference called the International Conference on Becoming Meek and Lowly. And mighty speakers will be there. Joe Smith. Arnold Jones, and the great speaker,
Sue Smith. And then under their name, you know, big picture. Started a work. Started a church of 600. After 6 weeks, got it down to 60. Trim the fat. Preached a hard word. Called him to discipleship. You know, meekness and lowliness is totally... You know what I like about George W.? I like a lot of it. One thing I like about George W., he knows Jesus, but he has a lowly spirit. He really does. I mean, I heard him on Rush Limbaugh once back during, you know, all that terrible month when all the election was so uncertain. I never forget, I heard him come on Rush Limbaugh, and I'm listening to his spirit. You know, you can do that. And he wasn't president. I didn't know if he was going to be president. But never forget, he went, well, whatever. That's basically what he said. Whatever. He didn't bring God in it, but he said, you know, I found out later that he and his wife prayed a lot. Because they're both normal. But his attitude was, whatever, if it works out, it works out. He said, and I'll just, you know, I'm going to go on my life. And I thought, whoa, God's going to give him that. I was right then, I said, God, somehow, somewhere, in his mercy, is going to give that to that man. Meekness and lowliness is an odd trait in our culture. Proverbs 25:14 says, whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. You think of it. All this clouds, all the wind, all this enormous front comes through and no rain. You know, it's a lot of people come in, all this boisterous, all this facade, all this front, all this stuff, but there's no substance there in their character. Amen? Anybody know anybody like that? There's no substance to them. There's no reality. You stick your hand inside them, you can't get a hold of them. They're all fluff. Walking in self-delusions of who they are, what they can do. Proverbs 25:27. Look at this one. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. You know, it's as best to think as little as possible as you can about your own achievements and accomplishments. It's not good to eat much honey. In other words, it's kind of real sweet to think about how God used you. You ought to do that as little as possible. You can't live on yesterday's manna. You know that scripture that says forgetting everything that's behind? Y'all know the verse? You know what that's good to apply to? Is not just bad things, but good things. When I get up on Saturday morning, I made this a practice. And God has come mightily in some of these meetings. Sovereign moves of the Lord. Significant signs and wonders. And sometimes I'll stop and think about, and it's okay to reflect on what the Lord's done. But my attitude has been, that was yesterday, this is today, I gotta be concerned about tomorrow. Forgetting the things that are behind. That's Jesus' business. In fact, did you know one of the ways to tell that someone lacks grace in their life is the level of boasting. It implies insecurity. A lot of people, if they've got rejection in their life, they tend to always kind of subtly embellish. You know, kind of put a little, just so you kind of remember that they're somebody. I want you to know that I'm somebody. Please, tell me I'm somebody. They'll come out and say that. Please, love me, love me. They don't do that. Once in a while you get one that does. You go running away from them. But people, they're far more sophisticated. They just kind of embellish and they just kind of, what's our name drop? The quiet thud of name dropping. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, me and Nola dropping names here and there. Yeah. So you be impressed about who I am and think about me. Well, you know what that implies? They don't have a lot of grace in their life. In fact, we want to see one of the most nauseating pictures of boasting in the Bible. This is, now please do not throw up on your Bible. Esther 5, verse 10. I promise you, this is nauseating. Be careful now. Turn the pages slowly. Esther 5, 10. This is going to just gross you out. This is a guy who was so full of himself, it was insufferable. Esther 5, 10. This is Haman. This is Haman, the guy that was, you know, hated the Jews and just wanted to bring them down. I'm not going to go into the story of Esther. Just look at this passage. Esther 5:10. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh's wife. Look at verse 11. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and of all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. And Haman said, moreover, yea, and as to the queen, let no man come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared but myself. And tomorrow I'm invited unto her with the king. And you can put in brackets, and he probably went, and she really didn't want the king there. I mean, this is a nauseating piece of someone that's totally focused on self. Totally full of himself. This guy was full of Satan. In fact, Haman was really in some ways the embodiment of Satan. His goal was to kill and crush and destroy all the Jews, if you read the book of Esther. Satan is a proud creature. When we focus on ourselves, we're focusing and moving in the spirit of Satan. Now, we don't like to think about that. Did you know that when you're walking in the flesh, you're walking in the spirit of the devil? Because it says the carnal mind is enmity with God. And you're either submitted to the spirit of the Lord or the spirit of the enemy. And when you walk in the flesh, when you walk in and out of self, you're walking under the authority of the devil. And all you're going to bear is bad fruit. For the works of the flesh are these, Galatians 5. And he gives a long list. But the fruit of the spirit are these. Depends on to whom spirit you're yielding. James chapter 3. Turn there. We're going to go through. In a minute, I'm going to talk to you about Mighty Mouth. Y'all heard about Mighty Mouse? Well, I found Mighty Mouth in the Bible. We're going to close with a story about Mighty Mouth. Remember Mighty Mouse? How many of y'all remember that? Here I come to save the day. Well, I found that story in the Bible. Believe it or not, it's all in there, man. Just dig deep enough. But we're going to show you Mighty Mouth. Some of us tend to be Mighty Mouths. A little full of ourselves. James 3:5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts. I like this King James. Boasts great things. How great a matter a little fire kindles. Look at this verse here, verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. Whoa. Look at verse 8. And the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly or restless evil full of deadly poison. Whoa. You know that word boasts there? The tongue boasts in verse 5. The Greek literally means talks big. Now, in these verses, you know what it describes the tongue? Let me go through this. It says the tongue, our tongue is this. It's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. It defiles our whole body. It is ignited by hell. It is an unruly, restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. Our tongue! How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all, your tongue has ever gotten you into trouble? Sometimes you just want to rip it out. Amen? It doesn't work. Rip it out, you'll still write things will get you in trouble. You know, when I was first, I came to Houston in 75. I have to tell this story because this will give a background for the point I want to make. I was 3 years old in Jesus. I came to Houston to live in a Christian community household at that Church of Redeemer. And I was living in a house with 22 other people. One five-bedroom house, three baths, four baths, 22 people. I had my slot in the bathroom every morning from 5:15 to 5:30. That was it. You did your business and you were out of there. It was the guy who ran the house was named Paul Patton. And believe it or not, he was fifth cousin to General Patton. He was. And he ran the house like General Patton. And it was good. When I went to the Church of Redeemer, I wanted to move in Christian community. And I made the mistake of telling the pastor, the elder, that I said, I need discipline in my life. That was the dumbest thing I've ever said. They had 39 households at Redeemer back then. 39. This was 1975. But I had to go and say, I need discipline. He went, oh, I know just the house. The Patton House. Oh, that sounds good. Little did I know. I moved in this house. I was in a bedroom. Real small bedroom. Five guys lived in it. Two bunks and a bed. I don't think any time we'll be all in there other than the middle of the night. And it was very interesting dynamic. I worked all day at the church, came home, worked at night, worked, served, ministered. And you know what? I absolutely loved it. It was horrible to my flesh. Everything inside of me screamed, but you know, there was something in me loved it. Because I knew God had me there. But I had a problem. And the problem I had was we would sit at the table at night. Now, I promise you, we had a table where we fit 23 people. Now, of those, it was 7 kids. And we would all sit around this massive table every night for dinner. And I had a tendency to always, when anybody got personal with me, to crack a joke or use my wits to keep you back. I remember doing that. And you know, if you live with somebody a while, you begin to see these dumb little things they do. And after a few weeks, it began to be evident when anybody ever asked me anything that, you know, that in any way threatened me, made me, I just would crack a joke. And I've always had a sharp mind, and I would use my wit to make a laugh and a funny, and everybody, well, you know, the head of the house, a couple of people they call them supports, they were pretty discerning people. And I couldn't put them off so easily. And one time, the lady's name was Susie Patton. She came up and she said, you know, Chris, she said, you have a problem. She says, you have a problem being real. And you tend to use your humor and your wit to keep people away. And I was so offended. She said, you know, really, that tongue of yours gets you in trouble. And so I went back, I'll never forget, and read James 3. I went, oh, Lord. Nothing like community to make these scriptures real, you know. So then I proceeded for the next few weeks to do everything I could to change. And I remember this. I was working on it. I was focusing on it and concentrating on it. You know, somebody would say I would be determined. But you know, try as I would slip back into the same old behavior. Week after week, and it was frustrating. I was trying. I remember I was meditating on verses, memorizing scripture. I remember I had scriptures on cards, and I would think, okay, now when somebody comes to me and does, I'm going to pull the card out, read the scripture real fast, and then remember that I'm not supposed to be that way. You know what I'm talking about? This is called striving. I mean, I had this down. I was determined to change, and I tried it, and nothing worked. And finally, I was so frustrated, and I remember this scene. This one of the supports, the name was Ron, and he was a good brother. And he came to me, he said, Chris, he says, you're trying too hard, man. He said, did you know you're not called to fix your tongue? I said, you're kidding. He said, no. He said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that went into my spirit. That was one of those words you get, you know what I'm saying, in your life, and it goes in and it never leaves. He said, now, Chris, if you just ask Jesus to change your heart, your tongue will follow. Ding! I said, I hear that. Boy, that was a relief. I could throw those little cards away, you know. And I started saying, Jesus, change my heart! Dig in my heart! Break my heart, you know. The pride. Feel my heart, Jesus! And as a result, guess what? That stuff began to fall away. Am I making sense tonight? Couple more places before we look at Mighty Mouth. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Turn there. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh are among you. Not many mighty, not many noble. Sounds like a church in Pasadena. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things that are despised has God chosen, and things that are nothing, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should, the Greek is, boast in his presence. The literal Greek there for glory is to vaunt, to boast yourself. In other words, God doesn't want anybody boasting in his presence. Pride is an abomination to him. So as a result, he has an expertise in drawing together in his body people that don't have a lot to boast of. Amen. Look among you. It's true. You know, if you were going to create a church, you would think, well, I need to stock it with PhDs, you know, the brilliant, the sophisticated,
the emotional balanced, the together. Talk about a dead church, amen? It's true. You get brilliant, sophisticated, emotionally balanced people. Snore. No, no, no. What Jesus does, he says, go on the byways and the highways and find the lame. Find the beaten down and compel them to come to my house. Those are the ones that will come in. The brilliant, the sophisticated are too busy talking to each other, full of themselves, that no man should boast. Then he goes on to say, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, it literally reads, he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. You know, God is jealous. He wants to crush the thing in us that thinks highly of ourselves. Romans 12 says, let every man not think too highly. How's that? Let me read. I say through the grace among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You know, there's always a demon trying to whisper in your mind, ooh, you're a great one. You're a mighty one. Either demons either kick you to death with guilt. What a lowlife scuzz you are. God's had it with you. And that had worked to go, whoa, you, others, but you. Am I right? One or the other. We're not ignorant of his devices, amen? Pride is just as deadly as guilt. We have nothing to boast of. The wisest thing you do is learn how to quickly forget. Forget what you did bad, and forget what you did good. Because what started this problem was eating the tree of the knowledge of what? What was that tree God said stay away from? Anybody? The knowledge of what? Good and evil, right and wrong. See, God knew if you go eat on the tree of good and evil, then what you're going to end up doing, as soon as you're good, you're going to get all puffed up, and as soon as you're evil, you'll beat yourself up. That's true. That's what we do. As soon as we're good, whoa, I'm good. As soon as we're bad, oh, I'm bad. Eve, stay away from that tree. There's a snake hanging out of it. Because every time, that's what the devil does. Stay away from good and evil, right and wrong, which is the law. Just go feed that other tree. Tree of life. Or you stay meek and lowly. Amen? You stay innocent. Naked and not ashamed. You don't have no shame in your life. You're free. You know, God wants to bring us back to the tree of life. Galatians 6, last place we're going to look before we look at the story. Galatians 6, Paul closes his epistle. He said, but God forbid, verse 14, Galatians 6, 14, last chapter of Galatians, God forbid that I should, and the word is, boast. God forbid, Galatians 6, 14, that I should boast, or glory, save in the cross of our Lord, by whom the world is crucified to me. And I crucified the Lord. Now, when I looked at that, I thought, oh, God is telling us what we can boast in. We can boast in the Lord, but there's something we can boast in about ourselves. Are you reading this? He said, God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross. In other words, he said, but there is something I can boast in about myself. You know what it is? The cross. And you know what that means? There's something you can boast in. Boast in the increasing death that God is bringing into your life. The increasing death, the increasing application of how you are dying to self and self-sufficiency. That's something you can boast in. You can give up and give testimonies all day long about that. God is crushing. You get up and say, I have a testimony. Yes, sister. Well, all I know is God crushed my pride this week. He used a hammer and he smashed me to little crumbs. And then he ground the crumbs to powder. And then he beat the powder down. And I'm here to just say thank you, Jesus. And she sits down. People go, whoa. What kind of testimony is that? That's cool. Amen? You can boast in that. Now let's look at Mighty Mouth. Judges 9. Judges chapter 9. I like to lay the principle down. And then we go to the example. I have never taught this in 20 years of teaching. It's amazing. You can always find things. Never had opportunity to share about Mighty Mouth. Judges 9:22. Y'all there? And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now let me give you a little background. This is a fascinating passage. You see, we all know about Gideon. Amen? Remember Gideon? Gideon's army? Gideon in the fleece? Gideon who just had 300 men and defeat all the hordes of the enemy? Well, Gideon, later on in life, had 70 sons. Lots of wives. 70 sons. But he also had a son by, what was the word they used? A concubine, which is a fancy way of saying something else. Illegitimate, as it were. And his name was Abimelech. Well, Gideon died years later, and the sons all grew up. And Abimelech, now the concubine, was from Shechem, this town. And she was not an Israelite. So Abimelech's folks and family was from this town called Shechem, which was not part of Israel. But the 70 sons of Gideon were. So what Abimelech proceeded to do at the beginning of chapter 9, he see, after his daddy died, he said, you know, somebody is going to be king, and it's going to be one of those 70 sons or me. And it's highly unlikely that it's going to be me, because I'm the castaway. I'm the illegitimate child. So what he proceeded to do was kill all of the sons. Murder them. The Bible says on one stone. Just slaughtered them. Old Testament's kind of gruesome. And he got some men from Shechem, some of his buddies. Says the way it read was people vain and light persons to help him. Now that's quite a job to kill 70 people. You know? So they slaughtered. Well, but one of them got away. So actually 69 apparently. Am I right on my number? Was it 80? Maybe was it 80? I'm sorry, it was 70. But one of them got away. His name was Jotham. But the other 69 were killed. So Abimelech proceeds to rule. Take over the kingdom where Gideon was. Now there's a real message in this because Gideon had a powerful ministry over Israel. But Gideon had some real problems. He was still into idolatry. Did you know that? He had never fully repented of idolatry. And he was very much like Solomon, multiplied wives. You know, the sins of the fathers passed down. I mean, the blessing of Gideon did not even pass the next generation. The curse came right up. And because he had a spotty walk. So Jotham, the one son who survived, stood up on a mountain. It was Mount Gerizim, interestingly enough. That was the mountain that somehow they would stand and curse and bless over Israel. He stood up on a mountain, which was the Old Testament version of a megaphone. And on the other, in the valley was apparently Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And he shouted. This is what the story tells us. He began to shout a curse. Now this is fascinating. You can read this later. But on the mountain he said, look, Abimelech and you men of Shechem, you killed all my father's sons. And you have illegitimately put yourself as head. Well, let God's curse come on you. He said, and I pray that an evil thing comes between you and Abimelech. You and the men of Shechem, y'all are going to come at odds with each other. He spoke a curse and then he fled. Now, I want to show you something fascinating. That's what he did. And look what it says. 3 years later, go back to verse 22. And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years, what? God sent what? Did you know that curse brought an evil spirit? Now there's a whole teaching there. He spoke a curse, and God sent an evil spirit. Do you know where there's a curse? There's an evil spirit. And a lot of times before you can be delivered of the demonic power that may be resident in your family, in your children, you've got to find out where the curse came in. A curse causeless shall not come, it says in Proverbs. You have to ascertain where did the curse come in to break the curse so that you can cast the devil out. But anyway, that's an aside. God sent an evil spirit, and the evil spirit began to work between Abimelech and his friends who helped bring him to power, the men of Shechem. There began to be an adversarial relationship between the two. Bitterness, judgmentalism, I don't know, spite. In verse 26, about this time, a guy named Gaal. And Gaal, I guess the way you say it, Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence. About this time, this guy Gaal came to town to start up an insurrection against Abimelech. See? He heard the news was out that the men of Shechem were rebelling against Abimelech. And he was going to lead the pack. This is the first mention of Gaal in the Bible, that verse. We don't know where he came from, but he showed up on the scene. And he gathered some men around him. In verse 27. And they went out into the fields, and they gathered their vineyards, and they trod the grapes, and they made merry. And they went to the house of their God, and ate, and drank, and cursed Abimelech. Now, it was a little tougher back then. Today, you just go down to the bar. Back then, they had to go to the field. They had to pick the grapes. They had to stomp the grapes. They had to get the juice. They had to ferment it. They had to get, then they drunk, then they got drank and got drunk, and cursed Abimelech. A little more delayed reaction. But the idea is the same. They went and got drunk. And they'd get drunk. And Gaal would stand up and he would curse Abimelech. Because of this bad spirit. Where once they'd been together another. And Gaal, verse 28. The son of Ebed. And this is what he says. And you know what? You write this in your margin. Write on top of bar stool. Because verse 28 to 29 is what he said on the bar stools drunk. This is like a drunk guy on the bar stool. He's saying, there! Who's Abimelech? Who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul his officer? Now, this is real important about Zebul. He mentions Zebul here. You're going to see something in a minute. He mentions this guy. Zebul's his assistant. Put him down on that bar. You can see him swaying. Yeah. Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Why should we serve him? I mean Abimelech. In other words, Hamor and Shechem were the founders of this town. Actually, this is the town, interestingly enough. Shechem was the guy who went in unto, remember the 12 sons of Israel? And a guy went into one of the sisters and raped her. And who is it? Simeon and Levi went in and conned him and slaughtered all the men in town back in Genesis. The guy's name was Shechem and his daddy's name was Hamor. And they all got killed. So these are the descendants. Apparently a couple of them survived or something. Well, the women survived. And so there's a bad spirit in the place as it is. It's cursed from the antagonism between Israel. So he was on the bar stool. Look at verse 29. And would to God this people were under my hand. And that sounds so much like Absalom. And then I'd remove Abimelech. And now this is good. And he said to Abimelech. Now Abimelech is not there. All people going, yeah, Gaal, my man. Y'all with me so far? But look at verse 30. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard what Gaal had been saying down at the bar. I put that part in. His anger was kindled. Whoa. You see, he'd been bad-mouthing Zebul, who was kind of on Abimelech's side. And he sent messengers to Abimelech privately. He said, look, Gaal, the son of Ebed and his brothers, they're coming to Shechem. And you know, he's bad-mouthing you, bad-mouthing me. And they're going to fortify the city against you. And he, without reading the verse, he goes on to say, look, Abimelech, be careful. This guy, he's nuts. He's all worked up. He's all riled up. Got all the people behind him. And he's spouting, and he's going to come and try to attack you. And then he gives him some wisdom. He says, now look, Abimelech, what you need to do is go up and hide in the hills. And when Gaal and his guys show up, you come down out of the hills and get him. So it's good counsel. So verse 35, and Gaal, the son of Ebed, not knowing that this was going on behind the scenes, he ran and he stood in the entering of the gate of the city. Now this is where I see Mighty Mouse Mouth singing his song. Gaal, who's so full of himself, such a boaster, verse 35, he stood at the gate, and I could almost see him raising his hand, saying, here I come to save the day. Here I come to save the day. Clueless man, Mighty Mouth. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from lying away. He didn't have an idea that the one to whom he was going to come against battle already was clued in. and was coming at him from the hills. In verse 36, and when Gaal saw the people, he began to see these, it's in the morning, see, and through the fog, he can see these hordes of people coming down out of the hills. He said to Zebul, apparently he's standing there with this guy, whom he'd earlier put down. He said, here come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said, oh, you just see the shadow of the mountains. That's not people, that's just the fog. But Gaal spoke again, verse 37. No, see? There's coming people down by the middle of the land, and another company over there. He's starting to freak out. And Zebul, and this is worth underlining verse 38. He turns to him, he says, King James says it best. Where is now thy mouth? Oh, mighty mouth, where is now your big talk?
Huh?
Wherein you said, who's Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that you despise? Now go and fight! Stop there a minute. You know God has a way of us eating our words. Can I, amen? God has a way. He has this incredible way. When we say something, he has a way of allowing it to come back in our face. Because he knows no lesson is better learned than that when you begin to reap that which is sowed. And you know, we've all done things like this. We've all been prideful and haughty and arrogant and what? Belligerent and boastful! Bingo. That's the literal Greek. Stupid! But God is in his mercy. Has a way where he says, okay, big talk, where are you at now? You know, there's going to come a day. I hear a lot of people talking about deliverance and spiritual warfare. In fact, it was a real popular thing. It was a move. It was a fad, the great, you know, in the charismatic movement there. Oh, the last half a dozen years or so. Big conferences everywhere, you know, and actually, since the late 80s, it's just, you know, the big new thing, deliverance and spiritual warfare, this and that. All these people. I was able to travel up in the Northeast and with Norman and got all these different churches. And that team, you know, Peter Wagner and them would just plop down from city to city and have these big conferences, and they'd all be excited, and they would be teaching about strategic level warfare. They're going to these cities. I remember this one city in northern New York, not far from Rochester. And Norman, while I was staying with this couple, and he was one of the elders of the church. And I'll never forget, he took me to tour in his backyard. He had the most wonderful grape vines, big old Concord grapes. And he couldn't stop talking about that conference he was at the week before, where they taught him all about the principalities and the demon powers. They're ruled over Rochester. And how they were to do strategic level warfare. They were all, and we went to the meetings, going on and on about it. And I remember shaking my head and saying, oh, Lord, this guy don't know nothing about deliverance. He don't know nothing about casting a demon out of his little boy. Or praying deliverance for his wife. But he's going to take on these principalities and powers. And I think that was unwise teaching. Can you know what I mean? I mean, you really don't see Jesus doing that. You know, the fad. In fact, people would much rather take on a principality. Oh, I'm into spiritual warfare. I battle the powers in the heavenlies. Oh, I'm into deliverance. I cast out lust spirits. Well, and you know, I actually had a woman that came. Who was that met with me? I'm one of the ladies here with. Her husband was a big speaker in Houston, would hold these big spiritual warfare meetings in town. That was you. Oh, yeah, and they'd all go back in the early 90s, and they'd come to the Friday night meetings, the New Wine Friday meetings, but boy, they wouldn't come when he had one of his deals. And boy, he had them packed out. Remember that? I even met that brother once. We sat down in the office. We laid hands on each other to give each other's anointing. Give me your anointing. No, give me your anointing. But he was a good guy. But he just didn't understand a few things. And I'm certain God's now teaching him. God has a way.
years later. Because he it was the big deal. And people would come to my meeting. They'd go, oh, Chris, you got to see. Man, there was 200 people at the Brooke Hollow Sheridan, and they were all in the aisles, and they were doing spiritual warfare against the principalities over Houston and coming against the murder spirit. And that's why murder is down in Houston, and go on and on and on and on. And I go, well, that's great. Praise the Lord. That's great. I'm glad. If that's the reason murder's down, amen. Because he's doing bombing demons in the heavens. A few years later, his wife called me on the phone. And she said, Chris, I'd never met the woman. She said, can I have some help? I said, sure. And I thought, why me? Your husband's the great, mighty spiritual warfare leader in town. I just run this little humble work here, trying to minister to the few that straggle in. So she came to a Friday night meeting. It was here at this church. And we subsequently met. Cindy and I met. And to not go any further than this, let's just say, bless the Lord, she needed deliverance. Bad. She needed deliverance. Bad. And I said so. Ma'am, you need deliverance. You got demons 6 ways to Sunday sticking out of you. All kind of curses and junk out of your life. And she said, I know it. Good woman. I know it. I mean, I liked her. You know, she was totally honest. Humble. And then at one point, the Holy Ghost said, we said, go call thy husband. Remember, that was the counsel. Remember Jesus said that? The Spirit said to us, we can't go any further till the husband comes in. Because, you know, what good can we do if the husband's not? Amen? Go call thy husband. And that never did occur. And one thing she told me, she said, well, you know, she said, I told him about your deliverance ministry. And stuff. And he said to me, he said, well, I'm not into that. I'm into the big boys. That's what he said. And then as she said that, I'll never forget, the Lord gave me a picture in my mind. I said, well, you know what, dear? I'm going to tell you the truth. Your husband's into the big boys. You know what he's doing? They're in a hornet's nest up in the corner under my eaves. That's like me having my wife standing here. And says, honey, you just stand there. I'm throwing rocks at the hornet's nest. Bam! Now a couple of hornets are coming around biting my wife. I'm sorry, I'm not into that. I'm into knocking the hornet's nest down. You see, before you take on the big boys, you better learn how to pull the stingers out. Can you hear that? Because they have a way of finding where you are. I don't hear as much about this strategic level warfare stuff anymore. It's kind of the fad. It's gone now. I don't, what's the new one now? I don't read all these magazines. You know what lasts is what Jesus did. It's not popular, man. You're not going to get the crowds. You know, you're not going to get the multitudes. Because Jesus was into running people off and making disciples. He was into training people to do what he did. He was into finding people that had a passion like him, and he could put them through the school of hard knocks and know that nothing would run them off. And then finally he says, finally, I can use you. And he would quickly anoint him and says, now, here, go and cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, freely you receive, freely give, and he'd send them off. That's what Jesus was into. And you know what? That's what he still anoints. So, tried that strategic level, and I think there is legitimacy to strategic level warfare. Don't get me wrong, there is legitimacy to it, and there's a time and place for it. But oh, you better know what you're doing, and you better have a body of people behind you, and you better be in God's timing. Amen? Because some hornets are going to fly around. So God has a way. So what happens? Where is now thy mouth? Verse 39. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem. Verse 39. And he fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even to the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul
thrust out Gaal and his brethren
that they shouldn't dwell in Shechem.
He got totally routed. Ultimately,
if you read the latter part, he was killed in a tower of fire. They were hiding in a tower, and Abimelech killed him. Mighty mouth. God wants to crush the boasting in our lives. Can I, amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on up, Alan. Let's just wait on the Lord a minute and see how he wants to confirm his word tonight. You know what? I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And if in any way the Holy Spirit has convicted you tonight, that's good. That's what the word is for. Now please, please, don't go out and try to fix yourself. Don't go out and try to be better. Amen? Don't go focus it on yourself at all. The word is a lamp unto my feet. God shines the word in our heart. We go, whoa, that's me. And just bring it to Jesus. And you humble yourself to Jesus right now. And you confess your sin. If we confess what? Our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And then we're going to ask him to change our heart. Lord, I just want you to agree with me as I pray. You just in your mind, just say, yeah, man, I agree. That's me. Lord, we confess to you tonight that our tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It is full of deadly poison. It is a restless evil. Lord, our tongue gets us in more trouble. It looks for trouble, Lord. Lord, sometimes our tongue comes out forked and slithers out. And Jesus, it creates hurt and wounding in others. Jesus, we've said things in the past that we are now reaping. We have been boastful, prideful, haughty, vaunting, boast. And Jesus, you in your mercy over the years have now allowed us to be in situations where we are reaping what we sow. Now just agree, if this is you, you just say, man, amen. The Lord sees your heart. And Lord, we confess it is true. That really, our heart is full of wickedness and vile and guile. And really, it's only grace and mercy that we're here tonight. It's only grace and mercy that we're not reaping far more. That you're not exacting upon us all that our iniquity deserves. It's only your mercy, Jesus. But you are letting us taste enough, Lord, to show us so we'll repent. Well, we would like to beat you to the punch tonight and avoid future tribulation, trial, and suffering by confessing our sin tonight. Fully, totally, utterly, and confessing, Lord, the sins of our mouths. The backbiting, the evil, the gossip, the wickedness, the judgment. Lord, all the boasting and pride and name dropping and the manifestation of insecurity, Lord, to make others look at us. Lord, we confess all of that is sin tonight. I want you to confess it to the Lord right now. Sin. Just own it. Say, yeah, that's me. Own it. Jesus is so good. All he wants us to do is see it, own it, and confess it. And put it at his feet, man. Here, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Just ask him. He loves you so much. And he wants to forgive you. And he wants to set you free. He does not want you to suffer the consequences of your own choices. That's how good he is. In fact, he even wants to turn everything around for the good. He just wants you to own and humble yourself tonight. Confess your pride. Confess the foulness of your mouth, the wickedness, the judgmentalism, the critical words against others. Confess it. May I be like you. Okay, now we have the fun part. I just had a flash in the spirit. Hallelujah. I like this.
Okay, now here's the deal. The preaching of the word opens your heart and you confess your sin. You say, Lord, forgive me, right? And you pray with all your heart, change my heart. Amen? Y'all done that? Okay, now we can have the deliverance. See? Now we can come in. And I saw in the spirit a flash of a snake wrapped around a branch sticking out over the water. I don't know what that means, except what came to my mind was the scripture, the tongue is a deadly poison. And what I felt impressed is there are certain ones here that to expedite the process of a changed heart, we can exercise our authority in Christ to break the power of Satan and the curse that may be on your life and on your tongue. Can you add amen? So, having said that, if anyone would like prayer along that line, in fact, I would encourage everyone, if you push this front row back, come on up to the front. Just come on up. I'm going to do mass deliverance. I'm going to take authority in Jesus' name. Just everybody come up. Unless you absolutely don't want to, come on up, man. We're going to do mass deliverance. We're going to break in the name of Jesus this snake. You know, there's been a lot of warfare to keep some people from coming here tonight. The devil's been trying to keep you away because he knows what happens in this place. People humble themselves to Jesus. And normally a lot of churches, this would have been the end right there. We did the nice song, we bless you and go home. Not a new wine. That's just to prepare the ground. Now we can have fun. See, now we can go and cast out the demons. And I like this part. And this is what Christ did. Because I'm determined to set us free, to see us set free tonight, all of us. Lord, I pray that you would send the gift of the Holy Ghost, a gift of discernment of spirits, that every devil that's in this room, every spirit being that's wrapped up inside of the psyche, the soul, Lord Jesus, the tongue, the larynx, the throat, Lord Jesus, every snake that I saw some snakes. The snake that's inside, Lord, the viper that's buried inside the soul. I pray the Holy Ghost hell would come and manifest and shine light from heaven on those snakes in the spiritual world. Satan, I say to you, these people have humbled themselves before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And he resists the proud. And we have separated ourselves from the sin. And now the evil spirit, you're sitting there exposed in the light. In this window of time. And we're going to take advantage of that in the power of the Lord. We're going to command you to loose these saints. Father, I pray right now, send the angels of God in this room. Those big ones I was talking about earlier. A couple of those big old fullback angels, Lord. Big ones, Lord. Wait a minute. What's the name of that guy that comes on Discovery Channel that's always messing with snakes? Crocodile Hunter. Isn't that the guy? I was at my mom's house the other day. We were watching this guy. He's always got these snakes. And he's always... what I liked about him, he seemed to not be afraid of them. And when I saw him, and he would pick them up, and he showed his wife, see? He's holding that wild thing. And I thought, I like that guy. He wasn't afraid of those things, see? He knew how to pull them out. Yeah, that's kind of a mind. Lord, give us the guts of the crocodile hunter. Amen? Lord, we got the guts to... Wasn't there some verse about they shall take up snakes? Is that somewhere in the Bible? Now, by the way, that's not literal. I believe that's in the spirit. See, we have authority to take up snakes, to put those things, to put them out of people and throw them to the ground in Jesus' name. That may be literal in some cases, but I think there's more spiritual application. Jesus, come Holy Ghost right now. Let's sing a worship song, and as we do, I'm going to command in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to command in the name of Jesus, the demons. You don't command the Holy Ghost. I'm going to command the demons to come out and trust the Holy Spirit will begin some deliverance. Come Holy Spirit right now. Do some deliverance, Lord. Come on, worship Jesus. That just scares that old demon. He just sits there on the edge. Holy Ghost, come with power in this place.
Jesus, worship Him, worship Him, Jesus.
Oh Lord, we love You tonight, we praise You tonight.
Jesus,
worship
and exalted One, Jesus, Your name is like honey on my lips, Your Spirit like water.
Lord, come, Holy Ghost. Father, I pray, set these saints free tonight. Father, name of the Lord, send the power of the Lord in this place. I pray to send the angels of God. Right now, shine light from heaven. Worship, come on. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Say that name.
Oh, that name. Every devil from hell trembles at that name.
Come on, worship the name of Jesus. Son of the living God. Prince of peace. King of kings. Lord of lords. I take the powers of these demons tonight. Satan, I change you to loose these tonight. Every snake, every foul snake wrapped around the larynx and the tongue, I change you to come out. Now, I take your power. Come on out in Jesus' name. I change you to loose these. I take the authority of these devils. Come on, snakes, leave. I take your authority in Jesus' name. I change you to leave tonight. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in the name of the Lord. Come on. Come on, you foul creatures. I curse you. I take your power. Change you to come out tonight. Name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Come on, worship Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible says you can crush snakes. You can step on snakes. Jesus said you should... He said, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Crush him tonight. I beat the power of this devil. I clean that snake to loose the minds in Jesus' name. You python spirit, I beat the power of witchcraft. Psychic power, beat the authority of that witchcraft. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Leave the mind now. Witchcraft. You witchcraft psychic powers. Break it. Aztecian spirits. Witchcraft, false gods, spirits, take your authority. Go! I change you to go now. Name of the Lord. Infirmity spirits, I take your power, change you to go. Come out of the saints tonight. Come on, take a deep breath, let him out. Come on, devils. Leave. Leave. Come on, take a deep breath, let these spirits out. Let him out tonight. Let him out. Come on. Take authority. You resist the devil and he'll flee. I change you to go. Come on. Come on, some of you are tormented in your mind. I command that tormenting spirit. Come out of the mind now. Tormentor. Tormenting spirits. Banging thoughts. Controlled thoughts. I beat the power of mind control. You mind control snake. I change it loose now. Name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Come on. Come on, unloose the mind. Mind control, let go of the mind right now in Jesus' name. I take your power, I command you to go, Satan. I command you to leave these things. Lift off of there. Constrain mind, block thoughts. I take your power of the devils in Jesus. Come on, take a deep breath. Let them out of your soul tonight. Let out that heaviness, all that witchcraft. Come on. Feeling controlled by other people. Under the psychic power of another person. I take the authority of that spirit. I command you to go tonight. Let him go. Come on in Jesus' name. Uncontrolled use of the tongue. Uncontrollable tongue. Cursing and blaspheming. I break your power. Change you to loose. Blasphemous spirits. Come on. Cursing and blasphemy. Come out in Jesus' name. Blasphemous spirits. Come out in the name of the Lord. Blasphemy. Uncontrollable use of the tongue. Gossip. Finding self gossiping, finding himself critical tongue, critical, I take your power. Can
Come on, all that deadly poison. All the deadly poison in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command. Let's just keep it like a deadly poison. Come on, in Jesus' name. Look at me. Look at me. Deadly poison, come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, deadly, every deadly snake. I command you to come out. Now! Name of the Lord, come out! Come out! Now! Now! Out! Out! Name of Jesus, I cast you out tonight. Come on! Come on! Out in Jesus' name. Unravel yourself. Unravel your hold. I command you to unravel your hold off these saints. Unravel now in Jesus' name. I bid your power. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. I curse you, Satan. Get out of these saints tonight. Leave them. Take a deep breath. Let these things out of your soul. Come on. Come on. Let them out in Jesus' name. Let them out in Jesus' name. God wants to deliver you tonight. I'm seeing things in the spirit. I keep seeing a turban in the spirit. I keep seeing this over and over. I don't know how, but a turban, you know, with an Arabian, but it's a snake. And it's wrapped around a mind. And what it's done, what I keep hearing in the spirit, is you're living a stale, boring, stuck existence in this world. It's because you're compressed in the mind. There's a snake got a hold of you, and you can't live outside your mind. And God wants to free you to live in the spirit. God wants to free you to soar like the birds, man, and be free. And free from the tyranny of the past and the fears of the future. In the name of the Lord, Father, you show me things in the Spirit to set the saints free. That's why you show me. And Father, I pray right now, you'd send a mighty angel with a sword and begin to jab and cut and kill and break and pull the snake off and liberate that person's mind to be free. For whom the Son shall make free shall be free indeed. I take the power of you, snake. I command you to come off. You mind control spirit. Come on, come on. I saw that in the spirit world. Come on. You need to tell it to go. You need to say, man, I don't want that. I want to be free. I want to be free, man. I want to be like a little child. Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you can't even get in, man. I want to be free. I'm sick of worrying and fretting and being anxious about stuff. I just want to be free. I want one day to be like 1,000 years in the Lord. I want each day to be a new adventure. I'm sick of being stuck in the rut. Oh, I want to live life free, full of the Holy Ghost, full of freedom, soaring. Oh, see, Satan, I pick your power, and I change you to Lucy Saints tonight. I pick your authority. You foul spirits, witchcraft, witchcraft spirits. I pick your curse in Jesus' name. Oh, see, Talama. Come on, take a deep breath. Let him go tonight. God is doing deliverance. I don't know. I never know what he does, but I know this. The Bible says when you resist the devil, he'll flee. And God wanted deliverance for each one here. If you came with a humble heart and you resisted the devil, to some degree, there's been deliverance for you. God always offers when we come. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We appreciate it, Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath. And I just want you to thank Jesus right now. Just raise your hands to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive tonight. I receive all you've done. Now, I'm going to pray protection over you because you need it, man. There's some hornets going to buzz around try to bite you. They don't like stuff like this. They'd rather you go anywhere than a place where you get delivered. Father in heaven, you said the angel of the Lord would encamp round about us. And I pray you just loose lots and lots of angels around every single real person that hears my voice. Lord, young and old, Father, that you put lots of big old fullback angels around us, Lord. And they'd have their backs and they'd have their swords out to protect us from the foul and wicked spirits that would try to antagonize or backlash. Satan, I pick your power and I command every evil spirit. I forbid you to backlash in Jesus' name. Take your power. I usurp authority over you, Satan. I loot your assignment over these people, and I command you to go. Get off their cars. Get off their children. Get out of their apartments. I bind every demon in the apartments of the houses and the workplace. I bind the demons in their jobs and their bosses. I bind you, devil. I command you to be bound. You have no place, no right, no authority here. We crush you now under our feet in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. We'll submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We'll let him take our lives and take us from this point. We have no place for you at all. None. And everybody said. Let's sing a song before we go home. Yes. And I want wonder why I got so much attack all week. Set the saints free. Do we need that thing? Let's bring this over. What is the name of this? Hallelujah. 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 The Lord reigns. I think it's under the Lord reigns. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord. Be free. Hallelujah. The Lord Almighty reigns. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord reigns. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord. Yes, Lord. He has shown his awesome power. He has triumph. Come on, worship the Lord. He's a victor over darkness. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He has chains that bound. He has. Woo! And by his own great mercy. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord Almighty. And by his own great mercy. Come on, rejoice in the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord. The Lord. Oh, the Lord reigns. Hallelujah. Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap on it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Woo! Yes, Jesus. Yes. So how many of y'all going to be like that crocodile hunter this week, huh? You know, God wants you to reach into the lives of others. Ooh, pull that thing off, amen? Praise God.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.